Thank you, gentlemen. Item number three, the report and possible discussion on our annual audited financial report from Patrick Stratton and Company. John?
I will introduce Mike O'Brien. Y'all probably met Mike before. Mike is our audit partner with Patrick Stratton out of Austin, San Antonio area. They do our audit of our overall authority financial statements, but this, of course, is the audit for the two plans now. This is the first year we've had two plans because of the split, so we actually had to do two audits, and Mike's going to go through the results of the audit of those two plans and stuff. And I think y'all received the material in your information.
Thank you, John. If you have questions as I'm going, please let me know. Just some general comments about the audit process. You know, we were engaged to audit the financial statements of both plans, as John mentioned. When we do that, we audit the financial statements. We're not auditing management performance or economy and efficiency, that sort of thing. The results of the audit, after your approval today, will be issuing unqualified or clean opinions on both statements, which is what you'd like to have from your auditor. We didn't become aware of any material weaknesses in internal control that we need to report to you. The audits went smoothly and on plan. There weren't any adjustments. There weren't any past audit adjustments. And we didn't have any disputes or disagreement with management over any accounting or disclosure items. And the final general comment, there weren't any changes in accounting principles required this year. And when the defined contribution plan came, was set up, they just carried over all the same basic accounting principles as they had in the past. What's on the screen is the table of contents for the retirement plan, the defined benefit retirement plan. If you go to the page two, the management discussion, that's the auditor's report. It says basically what I just told you. We got a clean opinion. The management discussion and analysis is on page two, the management discussion
and
analysis.
Just go back a couple of, there you go. Back one more.
This information is not audited by us. We do review it. It's what's called required supplementary information. It's intended to be an overview by management of the financial statements, of the accounting, of the transactions for the year. We do review, read everything, make sure there's nothing inconsistent with our understanding of the plans. So if you're looking for a quick kind of snapshot of what went on, that's what you'd want to look at. It is in a required format, and everything there, we didn't have any issues with the formatting or the disclosures, so I just point that out to you. Go forward to page number five, which is the statement of plan net assets. So this is the balance sheet as of February 28th. You're now getting more current information, but this is the audit date. The top half is the defined benefit component. The bottom half is defined contributions. So you can see the defined contributions all zeros since it was transferred out. The total net assets as of February 28th were $20,321,000. Remember, this is one day in time. Now, go to the next page. On page six is the statement of changes or income statements. So you can see the activity for the period. Remember that the top half, the defined benefit, is 12 months, and the defined contribution is basically 9 months worth of activity, with the other 3 months being in the separate report. So the way this standard format that you've seen before, but toward the very bottom of the page, the very last line there, is the transfer out of the net assets to the defined contribution plan, $2,528,000, to set up the new plan. So that gives you the flow through for the year and the activity. Next page is some information In the footnotes, there's a lot of information. If you want more detail about the plan, note A is a description of the plan. It describes both the defined benefit and the defined contribution elements. It takes 3 pages, so there's a lot of information there. Just to let you know, it has, you know, the number of participants and whether or not they're terminated or vested, et cetera. No changes there from what we've seen in the past. Footnote B on page 11. One more page. These are the significant accounting policies, standard disclosures about valuation and basis of accounting. No changes there from previous years. Next page is footnote C, which starts about a 3-page discussion on investments. You got the information about the investment policy, detail of the investments, which flip over one more page. If you want to see actually a detailed table of the investments comparative by year, you see the fair value and the cost of the investment types. We confirm that all with the custodian of the investments and confirm the fair value, so you see fair value and cost there. And moving forward to page 15, the required disclosures, footnote F, accumulated plan benefits, breaks down the actuarial present value by vested, currently receiving payments, other vested and non-vested. As you would expect, most of the amount there is vested benefits of participants currently receiving payments. And scoop that up just a little bit so you can see footnote G. This is the actuarial information, and there's another page at the very end that's got 6 years worth of data. That's required supplementary information. A couple of years ago, the accounting policies required us to bring 2 years into the footnotes, but we just confirmed that with the actuary, and you're going to get an actuarial report today. You can see for the actuarial valuation date, March 1, 2011, the unfunded actuarial liability, which is the middle column there in that table, went up to $3.6 million compared to $2.7 in the prior year. Of course, that's a combination of the actuarial value of assets versus the actuarial calculation of accrued liabilities.
I have a question. I apologize, I should probably know this. The UAAL, is that the Uniform Actuary Standard Group? What does that mean?
That's the UAAL is the Unfunded Actuarial Accrued Liability.
Thank you.
That's just the nomenclature that's used in the accounting standard.
You're not making any assumptions in this. So the current interest rates, current yield on the portfolio has nothing to do with what you're reporting here.
The actuarial, there's actuarially required standards. If you look on the next page, this is the assumptions that are used in that calculation, and these are the assumptions that your actuary here selects, and there are certain things that are required under the disclosure requirements for accounting, and they all meet those requirements. So the actuarial assumptions, the method is the unit credit method, which I'm sure Doug can explain to you. Amortization, if there was any benefits that need to be amortized, it's over a 30-year period. Gains and losses there, market value, are smooth, so there's a smoothing over a 5-year period for actuarial purposes.
Right.
For accounting, fair value, so those all flow through at the time they're incurred. And then the assumption of the gains or losses is 7.5%.
But that is, the 7.5% is the actuarial numbers used to calculate the unfunded liability, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. That's correct.
That's the assumption.
And if you would go to the next page over the actual schedule, which is one more page, Doug, I'm sure will give you a detailed report on it, but that's a six-year look at it. So you can see that your column there in the middle, the unfunded actuarial liability, you know, 2007, it was positive. It's gone, it's bounced around up and down for the 4 years after that. And since there's no covered payroll, since the plan's frozen, that's why the percentages to covered payroll no longer apply. That's just a required disclosure if you have that. So,
do we have the previous 5 years? Do we have this 5 year period? Was that the previous 5 years on our funds and unfunded?
We have that. I don't have it right now. I'm just going to, yes, just curious. No, we absolutely have it. I don't know. Doug, you may have that on.
This is the same schedule that we have in our valuation report. Sure. So we can probably go back and find it, but it's not in the report. That.
And I'm just thinking of, you know, we're talking about five-year budget, so to speak.
Yeah.
2008, we started this recession, pretty significant recession. We muddled along, and you can see it's just slowly. Well, it went, you know, we had movement, but I bet today, if we did all the numbers, it'd be up more, quite a bit more.
Yeah.
But again, like I say, it moves and, yeah, and it's a,
yeah,
over time it does concern me that it's that, that big.
So that completes the information on the defined benefit plan. Hopefully the next one is the defined contribution plan. Continue forward a couple of pages, one more. This is the auditor's report, same as the other plan, unqualified. Clean opinion. The last paragraph talks about the management discussion and analysis that we do review it, but we don't audit it. So go forward to page number four, or sorry, page number five, past the management discussion and analysis. One more page. There you go. So there's the balance sheet as of February 28th. $2.7 million. The transfer in was $2.5 million, which you can see. Go forward one more page. The income statement for the period, there was a net increase for the 3 months, $183,000, pretty good 3 month period. Shows you all the activity. So when you add that with the transfer in, ending net assets, $2.7 million.
Are we paying all the expenses?
The plan pays the expenses. And they come out of the plan.
You only had $2,800 in expenses?
Well, that was allocated to the DC portion. Most of the expenses are on the DB side. Because it's got more, it's based on a pro rata basis. It's got 90% of the assets. So that's why it doesn't look very large there.
The DB had 76,000 of management expenses.
Well, there is not any money being taken out by employees out of the DC right now.
Not unless they terminate. If an employee terminate, you know, leaves the authority, they have the ability, of course, to take it then. But as long as you're an employee, you cannot. No, sir. And we don't have any loan provisions. We don't. Okay. We don't do loans out of this plan either. So.
Okay.
That's right.
So the rest of the document is the footnotes, same as I described previously on the other plan. There's obviously disclosure about, you know, the setup of the plan and what the fact is that once you get the IRS approval, you'll terminate and distribute the assets, so that's all disclosed. And that completes what I need to tell you, unless there's questions you have.
You are auditing other plans of this nature?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this type of movement throughout most plans?
Sure am.
Are many of the plans funding those unfunded commitments, or are they just making small contributions and letting it stick?
I would say by and large, they're funding their required contributions. Where we do see some advanced funding is in the retiree benefits, you know, the non-retirement benefits with the health benefits and things that haven't been funded in the past. But on these sorts of plans, it's pretty much a pay the required contribution. From an accounting standpoint, if you advance funded, from the employer standpoint, you only expense what the required contribution is, as a general rule. If you did that, the rest would show up as an asset on the balance sheet. But it's not common.
As a prepaid.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
In that same regard, you know, the 7.5% is, do you, what do you see generally is acceptable in that area?
Is acceptable or is commonly used?
Well, I mean, maybe commonly used.
It's pretty common. It's between 7 and 8%.
Yeah. And who determines it? Does the actuary go along with that?
You and the actuary determine that.
Yeah. What does the actuary think about it?
I think, well, the, it's not there. You know, our view is the assumption. The assumption. It's your assumption, and that will give our opinion on what that is. And we provide information, too, about what's being used. Now, what I've seen in surveys for public sector plans is about half of the plans, this is across the country, about half the plans use 8%, and a quarter use something above 8, and a quarter use something below 8. But 8.5 is the high end of the range. 7.5 is usually in the lower end. Although now we're starting to see a little bit of shifting going down. And in some plans, well, the city of Fort Worth, for instance, changed theirs from 8.5 to 8.25 recently. I know there's discussion with the California state plan about them going from 8 all the way down to 6. They didn't do it, but they talked about it. So that's.
What do you think about doing that? I mean, if you look at the 5-year, I mean, if you look at money rates and returns, it's sure low. It has been low. And as a banker, if you look at the, in an accounting standard, if we look at our, and maybe this is a discussion towards the end of our meeting, but if you look at what we reserve for from an accounting perspective, we set aside a lot of reserves for things that are good management, good planning. And it just concerns me that there's so many of the plans out there that are underfunded. They're not, I mean, it's basically the present value of the benefits are $23 million, right?
Yes.
And the present value of the assets are $20 million. The present value of benefits, if we fund $291,000, brings us back to zero, or $302,000, what the recommendation is. And that would still show an unfunded actuarial accrued liability of around $3.3 million at that point, correct?
Yep.
And hopefully it'll reverse itself, but you know, I don't think from an accounting standpoint we rely on hope. We usually set aside a reserve. I am trying to get my mind around creating a prepaid or an asset and the theory of why it would be an asset if we funded more than $302,000. We would have to lower our assumption to not make it an asset.
That's right. Absolutely.
Just lower your investment rate of return assumption.
Yeah.
So then it wouldn't, I guess,
right,
that would be
right.
The key. You'd have to make an assumption variance in order for it not to be an asset.
Right.
Which would be the basis for you to fund more than what we're talking about today. But did you bring any models on what the number would look like if we did lower our rate of return? That fits more within this 5-year bucket that we've been experiencing?
I can give you more, I'd say, rules of thumb on it, and that a 1% change in the discount rate usually changes the liability by about 15%. So in your case, a change in the assumption from 7.5 down to 6.5 would be about a $3 million liability increase.
Yeah.
So your liability goes from $23 million to $26 million, which means your unfunded also goes up by $3 million,
which is enough, in my opinion, another argument that since we are not experiencing rates of return, safe investment rates of return or reasonably safe. We've either got to change our investment policy and take more risk, or we better start funding it. Because the more we put off the unfunded liability, if our assumptions aren't met, it's a snowball. It starts snowballing us. And, you know, as far as my part of it, we've, you know, there's been a lot of writing about it in the public, about these public entities that have these plans, and I just want us to carefully understand it. And I know it is over a long period, but I'd a lot rather be in a position to have a reserve than to wake up and to go from 3.6 to 20 million. And that's, you know, that would be a real tragedy, but that's gonna happen if we don't either adjust our assumptions or start funding it. And I, you know, I'm not saying I know the answer. I'm not a retirement expert. I'm just here with you guys and we're all giving our insight. But I am concerned about it, and I know that a lot of people are not doing anything, and I'm not so sure, based upon all the factors that we see, that doing nothing is the right thing to do. So, for whatever it's worth, that's my point.
Yeah. I guess in support of your argument, just last week, DFW Airport dropped their assumption from 8% down to 7.25%.
That's a big number for them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bigger than a $20 million plan.
Yeah. And we have to remember, my whole concern here is about caring for our employees. We want everybody to have a plan that's properly funded, and that's the key. We want to make sure we're setting aside, and I would look at it no differently than a reserve for replacing a whatever in our equipment. You know, it's a little more important than that, but It's still a reserve that I've always been kind of intrigued about how the actuaries make it all reconcile. No disrespect. I'm just saying it's interesting.
It's a science.
It's a science?
It's a science, actually. Thank you.
It's really an artist. All right, I'm sorry to get off base.
So that completes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.